You're listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast, brought to you by Lakewood Chev, the 2018 Canadian Chevrolet Dealer Raider Dealer of the Year. That's four consecutive years. If you're looking for a better experience and great service, check them out at Lakewood Chev, a better customer experience.
Ryan Rashog in Florida joins us. So, Shogger, give us the explanation on what is happening with goaltender interference.
Okay, the explanation. Well, basically, the GMs decided that they would like final say shifted to the room in Toronto and away from the official in the building. But in order to do that, they need to check with the PA first, make sure that the PA gives the thumbs up. And then there's also some discussion that needs to be had with the Referees Association. So there's a few hurdles to jump through. And then since they're trying to make the change in season, you then have to have the Board of Governors vote on it via fax, and it needs to be unanimous for an in-season change to happen. So there's a few hurdles to jump through, but I don't know that there'll be any stop signs put up. They may be okay here. Apparently Daly is going to be talking with the PA tonight, and they could know as early as tomorrow, and then it just comes down to getting the facts done with the with the Board of Governors and dealing with the Referees Association. But it's not adding a bunch of staff. It's not adding former referees or anything this year. It's kind of status quo. It would be status quo to the end of the year with the final decision, like the right to veto a call being given to the situation room. And then, you know, when playoffs start, they have officiating overseers in that room anyways. So the process kind of changes in the playoffs anyways. But they do want to centralize the final decision.
So they've centralized it, but does that clear up what is actually goaltender interference or not?
Well, what it does is it reduces the number of opinions on it. So you've got, however many officials there are that at any given time are going to make that call. And it basically stops it being, you know, it's the gray area calls that are the problem, right? There's lots of obvious ones. But it's the 10 to 12 or however many a year that you could get into a room and really have debate on. And what does that standard look like? And so I think they just feel like by reducing the number of people who have final say, you'll get more consistency. Now, people still might not like the answers, but the idea is that the answers will be more consistent. I don't know. I mean, I think they'll probably try and clear up what incidental contact in the crease actually means and remind people of what that means. And I think they'll, you know, refresh people of what the standard should be, I guess, or what they expect it to be. And if it actually shifts into that room, it'll be Chris King and Coley Campbell and those guys in there on a night-to-night basis to basically get that responsibility added to their plate for the rest of the regular season.
Anything else come out of today?
Well, they're not changing anything on the offsides. That just was stopped dead in its tracks. You know, last year it was on the agenda last year as well, and Gary Bettman in the league said nope. They basically kiboshed any changes. They said, you wanted to do this, we're doing it, so tough luck. Then another year went by, and now it was more brought along by the general managers. But, you know, they needed two-thirds. They barely got 10 votes. So what they were going to do is just adjust that the way the wording was. But if the trailing skate is on the ice, is off the ice right now, you're considered offside. Well, they were talking about adjusting it to say that, you know, that you were still onside. But I guess they had a discussion about it, and there wasn't the appetite to make the change. They barely got 10 votes. And, you know, the feeling was that players potentially would be, you know, I don't know, lifting their skates too high in the air, or there just wasn't the appetite to change it. And so they decided not to, which we were a little bit surprised. We thought that one had some traction this year.
Yeah, I just don't understand it. Why they wouldn't look and say a skate off the ice. Like, you don't want to change a whole review, just change the wording of the rule. That's all you have to do.
Yeah, I mean, it seemed like an obvious, easy one. And really, they're doing a lot of reviews based on that trailing skate now. Like, I think it's, I don't know, 30 or 40% of the reviews they're doing are based around that trailing skate, whether it's on or off the ice. And so they really feel like they could have cut down the number of reviews even more by doing this. But like I said, you know, what felt like it had some momentum and enough people talking about it, and then I guess when they get discussing it in there, it just kind of falls flat. They just don't have, for whatever reason, you know, and we see that at these meetings sometimes. You know, something will come in with a lot of buzz, and then once it actually starts getting kicked around, you know, whether people change their minds or not, I don't know, but it just kind of falls on the floor and nothing happens.
Was there anything else you were expecting them to discuss that they didn't get to?
Well, I mean, there was a bunch of stuff on the agenda. They worked into breakout groups today, and so they discussed a bunch of different stuff within a bunch of different groups. So, you know, I think a lot of things got discussed today, Gregs. I don't think anything really got done about anything, though. I don't sense that outside of centralizing this decision on goaltender interference reviews, I don't sense that there's going to be much in the way of other significant changes. Like, I mean, we asked Coley today and said, like, is there anything, any meat on the bone here? Like, is there anything else? He said, just a lot of stuff thrown around and a lot of discussions had. And, you know, I think George McPhee, because of the number of his players recently who have been hit with somewhat questionable hits, you know, he had some concern about players behind the play getting bumped into, whether it was accidental or not, and maybe trying to be a little bit harder in some of those situations. And I think he was pleased with the response to that. You know, fighting after the whistle or fighting after a clean hit, there was some discussion about that, and they talked to Shane Doan and some ex-players and got their opinions on that. It was sort of like, eh, it is what it is. They're just not willing at this point to, you know, be more aggressive with the instigator or try and legislate that out. So I think they kind of threw a lot of stuff around, but just there really wasn't much for them to sink their teeth into that there seemed to be traction to make any sort of significant changes.
Reiner Schog from TSN joins us. Schogger, so let's focus to the Edmonton owners. Pontus Aberg misses practice, is benched for two games, which is strange for not a great start for a player in a new organization to miss practice on one of your first road trips. Like, figure it out. That's, I don't know what the excuse is, but I'm not sure if you heard Todd McLellan's comments today. He wasn't really giving him the benefit of the doubt by any stretch of the imagination. So he sits him for two games. Now he comes back and plays him with Draisaitl. A lot of people are like, well, why would you play him with Draisaitl, not Jesse Puljujärvi? I prefer right now Jesse Puljujärvi with Ryan Strome. I know where he got drafted. I don't really care where Jesse Puljujärvi got drafted. The last 2 months, Jesse Puljujärvi hasn't been knocking it out of the park. And I know other guys haven't either, but he's a younger player. And I think they're actually trying to protect him rather than put him with Draisaitl and struggle more. What do you think?
Yeah, you know what? I mean, on missing practice, if that's what happened, and you know, sitting a couple of games, not a great start with the organization, and that's a bogey, you know, a major bogey. He's a young player, and he's not the first one that this has happened to. He won't be the last one that this has happened to. I like the fact that they slapped him hard for this. I mean, a couple of games is a big deal. So they dealt with it the way they needed to deal with it. It's not a great start for him, but it is what it is. They're ready to move on, and so everybody moves on. Now it's up to Aberg to sort of show something, because the problem is he hasn't done anything since he got here. And
He just got his third assist. He actually just assisted on Kajula's goal.
Oh, did he just right now?
Yeah.
That's great timing by me. But well, what I was going to say is he better be motivated and he better show something, because he hasn't shown much yet. And it seemed like he was an asset that was brought in that really hasn't done much or paid off in any way, shape, or form. And then he goes and does that. So, you know, pressure's on. You're making the GM look bad in your first 3 weeks with the team. Not a great idea. So he needs to have a strong finish to the season and to put himself in a conversation to be part of this roster for next year.
Reiner Schog from TSN joins us in Florida. So, Schogger, a lot of media guys are there. What's the thought? What was the scuttlebutt when the guys get together on some guys you think that are going to go to Carolina? Do you think the fact that Carolina only wants to spend $400,000 on a GM is going to limit their options?
Yes, massively, incredibly. Why would they want to spend only $400,000 on a GM? Like, what are you doing? What are you thinking? Don't understand it at all. You know, there are certain areas when you run a business where you can afford to scrimp and save and to be, you know, cost efficient, we'll call it. That's not one of them. That's one of the most important positions in your entire organization. If you want the person to, you know, have qualifications, you got to pay them. And now I'm not, I mean, listen, 400 grand is a good chunk of change in a lot of different vocations, but I mean, general manager in the NHL is a $1 million job. I mean, that's just, it's just, it just is. And so I don't understand why they're doing it. Not surprised to hear about names of guys that have pulled out. It's getting messy there. It was already messy. It's getting worse. Not sure how this is going to turn out. Don't know if this guy will figure it out before he drives it completely into the ditch and wastes another two or three seasons. Maybe he's smarter than the rest of the hockey world, but I somehow doubt it. But the way the things that he's saying and the ideas that he's coming up with make it sound like he thinks he might be onto something that indicates he's smarter than everyone else, I don't see it. I don't get it. And I guess we'll just have to let time sort of tell the tale. But, you know, when you see and hear about these sorts of things, it's got red flags written all over it. And I don't see it going anywhere good if he's stubborn about this and goes in this direction.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see what they do moving forward for them. And Matt Benning has just scored Scott Darling. My God, that guy is terrible right now in goal. Now, granted, he didn't have much of a chance on the Drake Cajula. But when you sign for 4 years at $4 million a year, Shogren, you got an 889 save percentage the first year in. Not a good start.
Well, I mean, was Darling's sort of overall body of work not significantly questionable? Like, how often had he been an elite level starter at any level, you know, through his career? I mean, they you know, they hand him a big contract, and I don't know. I mean, yeah, it was definitely a chance, and it hasn't paid off. They're married to the contract because he's not going anywhere. So yeah, that's a little bit of a rough one. Yeah, we'll see what happens for the Oilers here. Man, 2-1 already. Just a few minutes into the game.
Well, buddy, you knew this is going to be a game they'd score goals. Carolina is not a great defensive team. And I could see this being one of those two teams that are out of it and being like, you know what? Let's go. Now, Cam Talbot is one player on the Oilers who has found his game in the last month. So I have a question for you. Considering how much he played last year, would you want Cam Talbot to go to the World Championships or would you want him to take the...
Yes.
You would want him to go.
100%. Cam Talbot played the best hockey of his life on the heels of winning a gold medal for Canada at the World Championship. That was a fantastic experience for him. And I just think that, you know, to go there and be able to do that. Now, the question is, you know, will Team Canada choose him? Right? It was a rough year for him. It was a tough go. He's got his game in order here. He has experience with them. So they often reward that, right? They go back to guys they have experience with. But there'll likely be some other decent goaltenders potentially available here. We'll have to wait and see. But if I were the Oilers, I would be wanting Cam Talbot to go and play for a gold medal because it was a great experience for him before. Sounds like Connor McDavid, if he finishes the season healthy, is going to go. I think Darnell Nurse has an excellent chance of going. Maybe Nugent Hopkins. I think if Talbot were to get asked, I think the Oilers would want him to go. I think he should go. But he's also got young twins at home, and you know he's a strong family man, and we know that. So if he makes the decision based on what's best for his family, then you respect that too.
Quickly,
what do you think?
Honestly, for me, I don't. Sure, I get the opportunity thing. When you're seeing all the stories about Braden Holtby and other guys, and when Al Montoya is the backup, and I expect that he's going to have to play, he being Cam Talbot, 65 games again next year. I don't know if I need him going back to the World Championships. If he ends the season strong, to me, that's good enough.
Yeah, and that's a fair point. But, you know, then do you think McDavid should not go?
Well, I guess it's very different. McDavid's, what, 9 years younger than Cam Talbot? You want him to get used to playing all the time, right? And I know that, you know, mm-hmm. You say, hey, Cam Talbot could do it. But to me, it's different scenarios based on age more than anything else, right? Like McDavid's still an extremely young player. You know, he could play 24 minutes a night. He's not going to get tired right now. So, and, you know, hopefully McDavid, they're hoping that that's maybe his last chance for a decade to go to the World Championships.
Yeah, but I mean, you go when you're Cam Talbot. I mean, quite often they platoon the two goaltenders. They go back and forth between the two of them. You maybe play six games over there.
Yeah.
Like, it's not
fair.
That grueling. It's not that big a deal. I mean, I see these guys do it, and they play both goalies. And then when you get to the medal rounds, maybe they pare it down a little bit. I just think that the Worlds were great for Talbot. Winning and being a winning starting goaltender was great for Cam Talbot. It was nothing but positive, and he just played all world the following season. So, yeah, I mean, we'll see which way they go with it.
Well, Shogar, the Oilers, there was a lot of talk before the game on who would play on which line. Draisaitl's line scored the first goal. McDavid's line scored the second goal. And Stroman Lucic's line just scored the third goal. They have three goals in the first 9 minutes.
Well, there you go. That's contributions from throughout the lineup.
Yeah.
And look, Lucic, that's an interesting spot for Lucic. I mean, listen, is he a third-line winger next year? I mean, do they just have to resign themselves to the fact that he's going to be a $6 million third-line winger and put him in a position to play against a different type of competition by not playing him with Draisaitl or McDavid and just put him in that spot? I'm not sure that they're ready to do that yet, but that's probably where his skill set is at right now, even if his paycheck isn't.
Yeah, and well, you know, Strudwick asked the question, do you think Puljujarvi, Stroman, Lucic is a third line, and is that something you think they look at, or is this just, you know, they're moving Lucic around, he's struggling a little bit, they're trying different things? Because I think Nugent Hopkins, barring a big trade, is their first line left winger to start the season next year. But what they need to bring in outside of the right wingers is they need to bring in a left winger who can challenge Lucic for the number two spot, so it's not a guarantee where he plays.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think so. I think that would be good to have a player like that. They don't have one natural. I mean, listen, neither right nor left wing do they have a lot of real natural top six options, right? Flat out. I mean, they got Nugent Hopkins. They're hoping that Puljujärvi will give them no choice but to play him as a top six forward next year. But I don't know that they can bank on it at this point, so they have to cover themselves. So, I mean, I read your article on where these right wingers are going to come from. It was a good article. I agree. They've got some work to do. Yeah, they're going to have to get creative because these guys aren't growing on trees. Most of the good ones are real expensive. They've already spent most of their money. Their powder is not dry to get this done. So it'll be interesting for them to try. And you know, Lucic, third line, second line, you know, they need to be able to rely on the player a lot more next year than they did this year. That's for certain.
Shogar, fly safe.
All right, sounds good, buddy. We'll talk to you when I get back, and you go home, buy some lemon tea, some ginger,
yeah,
you relax, put your feet up,
and get
yourself through. Like, it sounds like you're playing hurt.
Yeah, I'm not even sick. It's just like I'm losing my voice. It's just like my throat's dry. I don't really understand where it came from, but I'm going to milk it when I get home. I'm going to tell you that.
Well, just do Trace a favor and just don't say a word for like 36 hours. She will absolutely love every minute of it.
It'll be great. I'll be marathoning TV when I get home. Fantastic. Shogar, we will see you tomorrow. Fly safe.